Do you know what time it is? It's supernatural story time. And if you're easily scared, and even if you're not, there's only one thing left to do. Just turn off the lights, because these are stories that you listen to only in the dark. Traveling ghosts. There is a particular strange ghost story that has been seen increasingly throughout Oregon, specifically along various highways. Who these ghosts are that seem to be connected with one particular male ghost, who he is or what he is or what he wants, no one knows, and there does not seem to be any rhyme or reason for when he appears. Sightings have increased since 2003. The basic description seems itself rather odd, but many have seen him all the same, along with two women ghosts, a camouflage-painted one-ton Dodge van, and sometimes two black wolves. His appearance is that he wears a black top hat that has two small horns that look like bullhorn ends on it and has a skull in between them. From the hat, it seems he also wears a pirate-like bandana that is also black. He wears a long black leather trench or duster coat that is always open, a burgundy-colored dress shirt with a black t-shirt underneath, loose-fitting blue jeans, and what seems, some have said, looks like combat boots. He also wears a studded leather belt that has a skull and crossbone buckle. He also has been said to be wearing biker gloves and studded bracers on his forearms and dark sunglasses. He is also said to be wearing what seems like a wallet chain on his left hip that reaches down midway to his knee and has three chains that has the middle chain composed of skull heads, and also wears a necklace of what looks like carved bone skulls. He is also said to have long and unbrushed red or auburn colored hair and a handlebar mustache. His skin is described as being pale and more of a grayish blue, and his build is stocky and heavy set, but he is also said to be really tall, about 6'5", and estimated, if he were alive, he would be about 280 pounds and looks about his late 30s or early 40s. Some women who have seen him describe him as being a rugged, like handsome, but has a stern look on his face, and more than one witness have claimed when he has frowned and seemed angry, he bears long, saber-like fangs and seems to roar like a bear. Two female ghosts are sometimes seen with him, who has been described as being dressed like biker chicks or early 90s goth. They are said to appear to be very attractive and seem to be about their mid to late 20s. One is said to be blonde and the other brunette. The two wolves are said to be huge and look feral and shaggy, and sometimes before the ghosts are seen, you hear them howling and barking. Many who have seen the large van he is said to drive have claimed it comes out of nowhere, does not make a sound, but they can hear what sounds like heavy metal music suddenly playing, and then behind them, the light pop on and has a greenish-blue haze and seems to have a similar colored fog billowing from beneath and behind it as though it were on fire. When pulling off the road to let it pass, it disappears, and sometimes it passes by and you can see him driving and these two women as passengers waving and giving the devil sign with their tongues stuck out at people before the vehicle fades right before your eyes. Other times the radio stations will change and the lights in your own vehicle will begin flickering, and sometimes the vehicle and battery will die and you can't start the car, and then the van will suddenly appear a few moments when it becomes extra cold and pass right by and then vanish and your vehicle will start. Sometimes he's alone walking along the road, and if your headlights hit him, he will turn, not wearing the sunglasses, and all you see is blackness where his eyes should be. Others claim to see one or both of the women at times in the middle of the road. Sometimes one lying in the road like she was hit by a car, while the other is leaning over her as though trying to help, and when hit by lights, they turn into half-rotting corpses and fade or look like skeletons dressed in tattered clothing before disappearing. Sometimes the van has been seen by truck drivers at night, and they see two wolves that sometimes are called black dogs that will try and cause one to run off the road by suddenly leaping up right at the windshield. The first story started with just the male ghost and his van, and about 2003, near Portland, he began to appear with the wolves, then in 2004 with a van, and then since 2006 with the two women. Locations, the reports have come range as far as southern Oregon, the Oregon coast, and South Washington. Nothing has been seen in the more eastern Oregon areas to date, as far as anyone knows. In all cases, those that see the apparitions become extremely tired, sick, and break out in weird rashes for a couple of weeks and get over feeling cold inside for at least a week and feel physically weaker for a couple of months. It is also said that these ghosts mostly appear when it is raining both day and night, with the most common sightings being between 4 a.m. and 7 a.m. and sometimes just before midnight. There is no agreed-upon time about the appearance being limited to only one part of the year, and unlike most ghosts, they do not appear unaware of their surroundings, transparent in any way or reason for when they appear. The ghost van has in the past been chased by law enforcement on a couple of occasions in areas along Highway 213 and 99 East, on at least two occasions clocked at going near 100 miles an hour, only to turn a corner and vanish. A few who have run into this van and its mysterious driver have said it's best to pull off the road and let it pass. Otherwise, it will chase you at high speeds. It will seem to try to run you off the road or even play chicken with you unless you make it across a bridge where there is running water. One anonymous person claimed that it chased him for several miles and his radio was going crazy near Santiam and Molalla, Oregon, and vanished only moments before police cars showed up and pulled him over for speeding. And when he told the cop it was a camouflage-colored van that was chasing him, the officer looked concerned and told him to drive safe and let him go with a warning, and jumped in his car and drove away fast. The dark apartment. I was living in Garland, Texas, with my girlfriend and roommate. As they went to the other apartment to bring her stuff over, I was alone in the apartment. I had to use a restroom, and as I did, the water in the sink came on by itself. I was in shock and confused at what had happened. I thought I was losing my mind. That was the first experience. As time went on, we would hear knocking noises on our ceiling, but not like someone knocking on a door. It was kind of like a knock then a pause. At the time, there was a new couple that had moved in upstairs. As they did, I had a conversation with a lady of the house who said they had a 15-year-old daughter. Well, as time went by, we never saw the girl. It would happen every night between 3 and 3:30 in the morning. It sounded like a girl was being abused and was asking for help. I called the police to the apartment upstairs, but they couldn't find anything. The television we were watching would turn to the Spanish station, and the volume would be turned up high. Well, we would try to turn the volume down with a remote, but we had to physically turn it off and then on for it to go back to normal. On one occasion, I saw a black mass move from our roommate's room into the bathroom. I was home by myself, taking a shower. I felt like someone was in the bathroom with me. I was home alone, so I hurried up and got out as fast as I could. I could hear a little girl call my name, and again, I was home alone. I told my girlfriend and roommate about what was going on, and we all started talking about our experiences. About a month after the couple moved in upstairs, we heard pounding sounds on the stairs. I went outside to see what was going on. The couple was moving out, and I asked them why they were moving. The lady of the house said to me, "There is too much freaky shit going on around here." Then I asked them if they experienced anything, and they all said yes. One night, for dinner, my girlfriend was cooking mashed potatoes and she put a pot holder on the counter to set the pot on. As she turned to get the pot of potatoes, she turned around. The pot holder was back on the hook, swinging back and forth. When I got home, she was white as a ghost and scared to death. Well, we finally moved out, and of course, we never went back. The Haunted Hotel. My friend doesn't share my interest in ghosts and used to say it was all rubbish until about 2 years ago. I went on holiday with her and her family to Italy, and we shared a room on the top floor of a hotel. We had stayed there the year before and nothing happened, but this time it was different. On the last night we stayed in our room watching DVDs, when I heard odd noises coming from the balcony. I didn't think anything of it until the next morning and put it down to the wind outside. That night I slept like a baby but awoke to find my friend who was feeling a little distressed and spooked. What she told me still sends chills down my spine to this day. She said as she was asleep, she heard an odd sound which she couldn't describe, a sort of heavy breathing sound. Assuming it was me, she turned over to tell me to be quiet, but she saw the outline of a tall, dark figure standing over my side of the bed with its arms reaching out. She thought it was me and asked me what I was doing, but there was no reply. As she went to prop herself up in bed, she realized it wasn't me, as she could feel my hair on the pillow next to her. She turned around and looked again, and it was still there, breathing heavily. She froze for a few moments until quickly hitting the light switch that was at the side of the bed, and then there was nothing there. The next morning, I asked why she didn't wake me, and she said she tried and I wouldn't wake up, and then she was too afraid. At first, I thought she was joking about the whole event, but it happened 2 years ago, and she still insists it happened. She wouldn't have told the whole family the next morning at breakfast if it wasn't true. A very creepy experience. My haunted house in Ireland. We had a spare room for a while upstairs in my house, so my dad decided to use it as an office and a place to store his old records and everything. Every night for a year, I would wake up at exactly 3 a.m. and hear old music, the low hum of voices and clinking of glasses with the occasional quiet laugh. Every night I went upstairs and all the lights were off and no one was there. But this is not the only weird thing about my house. We built the house new on an old site. A few years before we moved in, my mother had had a miscarriage. When we moved into the house at night, I always heard the patter of baby feet running up and down the corridor. But when I looked, obviously nothing was there. Then after a few months of being in the house, my mother found out she was pregnant again. As soon as she had the baby boy, I no longer heard the footsteps. My little sister had gone. When my new little brother was 4, he would never shut up talking. There was always some weird feeling whenever you would walk by our staircase. Then one night my little brother turned to me and said, "Why does Thomas always stand at the top of the stairs?" I asked him who was Thomas, and he pointed at the top of the stairs and said, "That man. He won't tell me his name, but he looks like Uncle Thomas, so I call him Thomas." My mother's father died when she was 11, and his son Thomas is the spitting image of him. We think it's my granddad at the top of the stairs. One night 3 weeks ago, my little brother had a nightmare and came into my bed. I woke up to him crying and got up to see if he was okay. When I looked at him, I saw a blonde young man standing by the bed looking worried. I went to turn on the light, stunned, but by the time I did, he was gone and my brother had stopped crying. So who is this young man's ghost that my brother calls Thomas? The haunted farmhouse. I lived in a farmhouse for 3 years. I once woke up in the middle of the night to what seemed like every door and window in the house slamming at once. It shook the whole house and was very loud. One time I was laying in bed and a large invisible thing, seeming like a large animal, jumped up on the bed and walked up between me and my husband, and then just like a dog, plopped down, half laying on me, and then just slowly the weight went away. I would be standing outside the kitchen window of the house or outside hanging clothes in the line and hear outside what sounds like 3 or 4 children laughing and playing, like they were jumping on the bed and squealing and laughing. Then I would hear this thump, 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 like footsteps, then mumbling in a low male voice, rum, 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 rum. Then it was quiet for a minute. Then the children's noises would gradually get louder and louder and louder, then the footsteps and the mumbling and quiet. I've heard this 100 times. It just keeps getting repeated, the exact same thing over and over again, however long you are out there. I also saw one time while I was in the kitchen cleaning, I glanced out the window. It was the middle of the day and saw a black snake curled around what was a statue sitting on top of a cement cover of an old well. It was as thick as a basketball and 15 or more feet long. I ran out and got my son who was playing in the backyard. came in and shut all the doors and windows, but when I looked out again, it was gone. Biker ghost. While I was in college, this was pre-OnStar days, I worked for a locksmith company. My job was primarily to unlock cars for people which had locked their keys in their car. Well, one night, I took the majority of the third shift calls. Around 2 a.m., I get a call on the radio about someone locking their keys in their car at a cemetery. Okay. The gentleman told me, after the incident, this information. He had visited his mother's grave with his brother earlier that day. They decided to get something to eat. He just rode with his brother and left his car at the cemetery and would get it later. Well, after dinner and some chat time with his brother, he decided to get his car and head home. His brother dropped him off at his car and left, neither realizing he had left his keys in his car locked. So after walking to the local gas station, he called us. Keep in mind, this was around 1998, so cell phones weren't everywhere like they are now. So by around 2:40 or so, I pull into the cemetery and the man is standing by his car. His face is solid white with fear in his eyes. I park the car, get out my tools, and ask the man if he is okay. He tells me, "Man, you won't believe this, but some lady walked up to ask for a ride. I could see right through her. Your headlight shined on her and she disappeared." So while I'm figuring out how to get the door open and opening the door, we both were really creeped out. I get it unlocked fairly easily, and while I begin the paperwork, we both commented on how chilly it started to get. This was around the 4th of July, so it was hot and muggy. The temperature dropped to where I felt my body shivering inside. Now, he was in front and to the left of me, maybe a few feet. I was looking down, writing his information down, when he got quiet. When I looked up, I saw the same look he had when I pulled up. I felt an uneasiness, like someone was behind me. Suddenly I saw in his eyes something was there and close. And in an instant I felt something touch my shoulder. Not just a tap, but a good amount of weight and pressure, like some hand had grabbed my shoulder to get my attention. I dropped the notebook with the paperwork and turned, but only saw fog or a mist. The guy was speechless. I suggested we drive to the gas station to finish the paperwork, and that's exactly what we did. The jigsaw puzzle. It was on the top shelf of an old bookcase covered with dust and barely visible. Lisa decided she had to find out what it was. Of all the things in the old junk shop, it aroused her curiosity most. She had looked through old books, prints, and postcards for hours. Nothing had caught her interest. Now the old box, high and out of reach, intrigued her. She looked around for the old man who ran the store, but he had gone into the back room. She saw a stepladder cross the room and brought it over to the bookcase. It shook on the uneven floorboards as she climbed to the top shelf. Lisa patted her hand along the surface of the top shelf, trying to find the box. The dirt was thick and gritty on the board. Then she touched the box. It was made of cardboard. The cardboard was cold and soft from being in the damp room for such a long time. She lifted the box down slowly, trying to steady her balance on the stepladder. As the side of the box reached her eye level, she could read the words, 500 pieces. She sat the box down on top of the stepladder and climbed down a few steps. Then she blew away some of the dust that had accumulated on the lid. It billowed up around her with a musty, dead odor. But now she could make out a few more words on top of the box. The strangest jigsaw puzzle in the world. There were other words underneath that, but they had been rubbed off the cardboard lid. The big picture on the cover had been curiously damaged. Lisa could make out areas of light and dark. It looked as though the scene might be in a room, but most of the picture had been scratched off the cardboard box, probably by a sharp instrument. The mysterious nature of the jigsaw puzzle made it even more appealing to Lisa. She decided she would buy it. The lid was taped down securely. That probably meant that all the pieces would be there. As she carefully climbed down the stepladder, holding the box in both hands, Lisa smiled to herself. It was quite a find, just the sort of thing she had always hoped to discover while rummaging through secondhand stores. The owner of the store came out of the back room as she was walking up to a sales desk. He looked curiously at the box when Lisa set it down. "And where did you find that?" he asked her. Lisa pointed to where she had set up the stepladder. It was on the top of that bookcase. You could barely see it from the floor. Well, I've never seen it before, that's for sure, the shopkeeper said. Can't imagine how you found it. Lisa was more pleased than ever about her find. She felt as though the puzzle had been hiding up there waiting for her to discover it. She paid the shopkeeper the 25 cents he asked for the puzzle and then wrapped it carefully in the newspapers he gave her to take it home in. It was late on a Saturday afternoon. Lisa lived alone in a small room in an old apartment house. She had no plans for Saturday night. Now she decided to spend the whole evening working on the puzzle. She stopped at a food mart and bought some bologna, bread, cheese, ketchup, mustard, and mayonnaise to make her favorite sandwich. She would eat while she put the puzzle together. As soon as she had climbed a flight of stairs to a room and put away the groceries, Lisa cleaned off the big table in the center of the room. She set the box down on it. The strangest jigsaw puzzle in the world, Lisa read the words again. She wondered what they could mean. How strange could a jigsaw puzzle be? The tape that held the lid down was still strong. Lisa got out a kitchen knife to slice through it. When she lifted the cover off the box, a musty smell came from inside, but the jigsaw puzzles all looked in good condition. Lisa picked one up. The color was faded, but the picture was clear. She could see the shape of a finger in the piece. It looked like a woman's finger. Lisa sat down and started to lay out the pieces top side up on the large table. As she took them from the box, she sorted out the flat-edged pieces from the inside pieces. Every so often, she would recognize something in one of the pieces. She saw some blonde hair, a window pane, and a small vase. There was a lot of wood texture in the pieces, plus what looked like wallpaper. Lisa noticed that the wallpaper in the puzzle looked a lot like the wallpaper in her own room. She wondered if her wallpaper was as old as a jigsaw puzzle. It would be an incredible coincidence, but it could be the same. By the time Lisa had all the pieces laid out on the table, it was beginning to get dark outside. Dusk was beginning to settle over the evening sky. She got up and made herself a sandwich. Already her back was beginning to hurt a little from leaning over the table. But she couldn't stay away from the puzzle. She went back to the table and set her sandwich down beside her. It was always like that when she did jigsaws. Once she started, she couldn't stop until the puzzle was all put together. She began to sort out the edge pieces according to their coloring. There were dark brown pieces, whitish pieces, the wallpaper pieces, and some pieces that seemed to be like glass, perhaps a window. As she slowly ate her sandwich, Lisa pieced together the border. When she was finished, she knew she had been right about the setting of the picture when she had first seen the puzzle. It was a room. One side of the border was wallpaper. Lisa decided to fill that in first. She was curious about its resemblance to her own wallpaper. She gathered all the pieces together that had the blue and lilac flower design. As she fit the pieces together, it became clear that the wallpaper in the puzzle was identical to the wallpaper in her room. Lisa glanced back and forth between the puzzle and her wall. It was an exact match. By now, it was already dark outside. Lisa leaned back in her chair. Her back was stiff. She looked over at her window. The night was pitch black outside. Lisa got up and walked over to the window. Suddenly, she felt uneasy. Alone in the apartment. She pulled the white shade over the window. She paced around the room once, trying to think of something else she might do, then finished the puzzle, but nothing else interested her. She went back and sat down at the table. Next, she started to fill in the lower right-hand corner. There was a rug and then a chair. This part of the puzzle was very dark. Lisa noticed uneasily that the chair was the same shape as the one sitting in the corner of her room. But the colors didn't seem exactly the same. Her chair was maroon. The one in the puzzle was in the shadows and seemed almost black. Lisa continued to fill in the border toward the middle. There was more wallpaper to finish on top. The left-hand side did turn out to be a window. Through it, a full moon hung in a dark sky, but it was the bottom of the puzzle that began to bother Lisa. As the pieces fell into place, she saw a picture of a pair of legs crossed underneath a table. They were the legs of a young woman. Lisa reached down and ran her hand along one of her legs. Suddenly, she had felt as though something was crawling up it, but it must have been her imagination. She stared down at the puzzle. It was almost three quarters done. Only the middle remained. Lisa glanced at the lid to the puzzle box. The strangest jigsaw. She shuddered. Lisa leaned back in her chair again. Her back ached. Her neck muscles were tense and strained. She thought about quitting the puzzle. It scared her now. She stood up and stretched. Then she looked down at the puzzle on the table. It looked different from the higher angle. Lisa was shocked by what she saw. Her body began to tremble all over. It was unmistakable. The picture in the puzzle was of her own room. The window was placed correctly in relation to the table. The bookcase stood in its exact spot against the wall. Even the carved table legs were the same. Lisa raised her hand to knock the pieces of the puzzle apart. She didn't want to finish the strangest jigsaw puzzle in the world. She didn't want to find out what the hole in the middle of the puzzle might turn out to be. But then she lowered her hand. Perhaps it was worse not to know. Perhaps it was worse to wait and wonder. Lisa sank back down into the chair at the table. She fought off the fear that crept into the sore muscles of her back. Deliberately, piece by piece, she began to fill in the hole in the puzzle. She put together a picture of a table on which lay a jigsaw puzzle. This puzzle inside the puzzle was finished, but Lisa couldn't make out what it showed. She pieced together the young woman who was sitting at the table. The young woman had the same hair color as Lisa, but the woman's face was blurred. As she filled in the picture, her own body slowly filled with horror and dread. It was all there in the picture. The vase filled with red and yellow flowers, same as hers, her own sweater that she was wearing, the wild look of fear in the face that she now had on her own. The jigsaw puzzle lay before her, finished except for two adjoining pieces. They were dark pieces. Once she hadn't been able to fit into the area of the window. Lisa looked behind her. The white blind was drawn over the window. With relief, she realized that the puzzle picture was not exactly like her room. It showed the black night behind the window pane and a full moon shining in the sky. Through a window, she could see no moon was in the sky. With trembling hands, Lisa reached for the second to last piece. She dropped it into one of the empty space. It seemed to be half of a dark shadow, but she couldn't make it out. She reached for the last piece. She pressed it into the small hole left in the picture, but suddenly the lights went out, blanketing Lisa in complete darkness. Lisa got up from her chair and stumbled in the dark. She walked over to the bookcase to get a candle and match. Finally, after she found what she needed, she went back to the table. But just before she sat down, she gasped as she heard a sound. She hurriedly lit the candle. The puzzle was now done, and the shadow was complete. The shadow in the window. It was more horrible than anything she had ever seen or dreamed. She could now make out her own face in the puzzle. Lisa looked at the picture of herself in the puzzle, and then back to the shadow. Then she whirled around. The blind was no longer over her window. The night showed black through the window pane. A full moon hung low in the sky. She looked back at the jigsaw puzzle for the final time. Lisa screamed. In the strangest jigsaw puzzle in the world, she saw a dark figure standing behind her. The figure held a knife underneath her neck. A family haunting. My family is no different from any other normal, albeit slightly maladjusted family that lives in any town, USA. We just happen to have a few more restless spirits than most. Rarely a day goes by that we don't get a visit from one of our loving yet annoying relatives that have passed on. I'll give you a few examples and you can judge for yourself. My grandmother died in 1969. My grandfather also died in 1969, 32 minutes before my grandmother. Both died from massive heart attacks. Since the day that she died, if there's any type of emotional upheaval, illness, death, divorce, etc., in the homes of myself or my two sisters, you can always smell her cologne. She always wore an Avon brand. It came in a small square bottle with a gold and turquoise label. When you smell that fragrance, there's always a warm, comforting feeling that comes with it. I guess it's her way of trying to let us know she's still around. My mother-in-law died suddenly in 1990. Shortly after her death, my husband and I began to notice things being moved around. Nothing major, just minor things. I, as well as my husband, have always had specific places that we would put keys, jewelry, pocket change, etc. We would put things down at night, then the next morning they would be moved. Not just moved over or exchanged places. The items would be in a completely different part of the house or even in the car. Also, there was a particular type of scented candle that I liked to burn, but my mother-in-law didn't care for it. If I lit one of those candles, it would be blown out. No matter how many times I lit it, it would always go out. I could only light any other scented candle, and it would burn without a problem. Sometimes if I left the offending candle sitting out, it would fall off the shelf or table. I guess she was making her preference known. She also smokes Salem cigarettes, and frequently early in the morning or late at night, the smell of that cigarette was almost overpowering. Several of our friends and family were witness to this. My brother passed away in 1999. On the day of his funeral, the service was scheduled for 2 p.m., and my two sisters and I were getting ready at three separate locations. At precisely 1:30 p.m., we all three were almost suffocated with the stench of our brother's favorite cologne. I say stench because my brother had a lousy taste when it came to men's fragrances. To this day, we often get a whiff of the smell, usually at family gatherings. My father-in-law passed away in September of 2008. Since he died, footsteps can often be heard throughout my house. There is no particular time of day, no particular event. You can just hear him walking. When I hear him, I usually ask him if he's bored, and the sounds stop. My last example is about my grandson, Gabriel. He passed away in April of 2006 at the age of 65 days. Though he wasn't here for very long, he made a big impact. The day he was born, I gave him the nickname Monkey, mainly because he was no bigger than a spider monkey you would find in the zoo. He died in a hospital that was about 375 miles away from the rest of our family. The only ones that were there were my daughter and son-in-law and myself. My husband was en route, but he wasn't there when he died. As I said, the rest of the family was back home. To try to help clarify the story, my grandson was in a hospital in another part of the state, recuperating from open-heart surgery, and his condition took a sudden turn for the worse, and he died a short time after that. My grandson died at 8:45 p.m. on April 20th. At 8:46 p.m., a call came through on my cell phone. It was my sister calling from 375 miles away. She knew that he was dead. She told me that at 8:45 p.m., our brother, that had passed away in 1999, appeared in front of her, and he was holding a baby wrapped in a blue and white baby blanket. 20 days after Gabriel's death, my granddaughter, by another daughter, Michaela, was born. As she began to notice her surroundings, she would often see her staring off into space. Then she would laugh or smile. As time went on, she continued to laugh at nothing. By now, my daughter was getting a little bit worried. They have special places for people that stare into space and laugh at nothing. Michaela would often put toys in two separate piles or push a particular toy away from her where she was sitting. As she began to talk, one of her first words was "monkey." She would frequently reach out into the air and make hand motions like she was tickling someone and giggling. Other times she would begin to squirm and giggle like someone was tickling her. She would always say, "Stop, monkey." On numerous occasions, she would share her toys, cookies, bottles with monkey. I guess some would say that it was a coincidence, but the strange part is no one ever discussed him around her. It was too painful for his mother. In the years since he passed, several family members have talked about seeing a tiny little boy with blonde hair and blue eyes around our house. Even first-time visitors that don't know anything about Monkey. Sometimes little things will go missing, especially keys and jewelry, and one of us will ask Monkey to put it back, and most of the time it always returns, usually in the same spot it was in. I can't say for sure that any of these things add up to paranormal occurrences. They aren't scary or spooky. They really are just comforting. It's kind of a nice feeling, like death really isn't the end. It's just another chapter. and a very long book.